This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, thanks for listening to this Joy podcast. If you like what we do and you listen to our podcast on a regular basis, it's time to put your money where your ears are. It's Radiothon. Go to joy.org.au, become a member or donate, and keep us out loud and proud so we can make more of the stuff you like.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track, and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
You are on the Escape Hour with Stefan and Fiona. Now, to bring into the studio, who's already here, our fabulous guest, Carrie Hutchinson. How are you, Carrie?
Very well. Hi. Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you for coming in. Now, Carrie is the editor of National Geographic Traveller, and a traveller she is. The warm winds of Hawaii are still floating around her. Are you feeling the chill yet?
I am very much feeling the chill, but I still have a little bit of a tan.
So
I'm sure it will disappear very fast in this weather, but...
It will. No. Hawaiian tans, I think they stick around.
That's I've been moisturising it.
That's the key to keeping it.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Hawaii. Now, we have never had anybody on the show since I've been here to talk about Hawaii, and it's one of my favourite destinations. Carrie, tell us, you were in Hawaii for how long?
I was in Hawaii for 2.5 weeks.
Oh, bliss.
It was absolute bliss. And that was my second time there. So I'd never been before, and friends and I got cheap airfares last year and went for a week and realised it was nowhere near long enough. I immediately wanted to go back.
Yeah. I've been to Hawaii twice myself. The first time I went for 3 weeks. The second time I went as a stopover for 4 days on my way from Melbourne to the States. And, wow, I just love that place.
See, I've never been, but I've always... been a little bit reluctant because I can see these high, tall buildings on the seafront and they remind me of some place in Australia. So why go to Hawaii?
Well, so the bit that you're talking about, the high rises, is Waikiki, which is a small part of Honolulu, which is the capital of the state. But there is so much more to Hawaii than Waikiki. That's just a small percentage. And the rest of the islands are incredibly beautiful. Just the it's like nature's playground, really, and the sea is warm all year round. It's like summertime all year round. The people are lovely, and it's just a really beautiful place to kind of kick back and get away from it all.
It's very chilled. I certainly remember that. The Hawaiians are, I mean, I don't want to say that their life is, you know, relaxation all the time, but, you know, they're a really beautiful, warm people. It's got this wonderful, leisurely pace. I mean, everyone wears Hawaiian shirts. I mean, really, there's absolutely nothing to complain about. Also, the great thing is it's American islands. It has American money, which means it's super easy to you know, translate and all that sort of thing. But yet it has so many other cultural aspects to it. Hawaiian culture, Asian culture, Japanese.
They're just, it's like a melting pot, really. So I don't know that people expect that when they go there, but there's the traditional Hawaiian culture. As you said, the Chinese arrived at about the same time as Europeans in the islands. Heaps of Japanese people there, Filipinos, and, of course, visitors from all around the world, and especially in Waikiki, as you're walking around at the moment with Australians trying to actively get away from winter. You can hear Australian accents everywhere, but as soon as you leave Waikiki, they disappear, which is amazing because I think if you just wanted tall buildings and a surf beach, you could go to the Gold Coast.
Yes.
Oh, I've been to Waikiki only the once, and I must say I really enjoyed it. I mean, when you sit on that beach and you see the Diamond Head, all of a sudden you're the big... So at the end of the beach in Waikiki is Diamond Head, which is, I guess, a hill or a mountain.
Yes, a hill.
And as soon as you sit there, you go, oh, my God, that's like representative of every film I've seen of Hawaii. Yeah. They always have this one particular scene. And, you know, everything's in Japanese and in English because there's so many Japanese there. There's fantastic restaurants. I mean, I thought Waikiki was pretty fun.
It's fantastic fun, and there's great bars like overlooking the beach, so you can go and have a sundowner and watch the surfers, or you know, there's even like kind of old school dive bars that you can find. Where there's a great one called Arnold's, where it's happy hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and all the cocktails are $6.
Whoa!
And you can't, so you can't like, argue with that.
Well, I mean, it is combining the wonderful thing about cheap American cocktails, yes, cheap American drinks. That is a super duper plus if you like a cocktail. So, Carrie, now that we know there are a number of islands, do you want to run us through the islands in Hawaii and then let us know where you went specifically?
So the main island where everyone lands is Oahu, which is where you'll find Honolulu, Waikiki, and also the amazing North Shore. And it's where most visitors will go. So then there's Maui, which is nature's paradise, lots of high-end resorts there. There's the island of Hawaii, which we all think of as the big island where the volcano is. It's the biggest island in the Hawaiian chain. And then there's two other islands, Kauai, Molokai and Lanai, and they get smaller. Kauai, 80% is inaccessible by land, so it's really kind of one, you know, you fly around by helicopter and check it out, and that's where the Nepali coastline is. So it's pretty incredible. But I've been to the Big Island, which is where I went last year, and this time I spent my time on Oahu because I wanted to check out the North Shore, which was...
What's the North Shore?
Amazing. So it's... The North Shore is where you will see all the surfing competitions from, Waimea, the Banzai Pipeline... and amazingly, the surf on Oahu happens at different times of the year. So in the summer, the North Shore doesn't have surf, and the South Shore, which is where Waikiki is, does have surf. So while I was there, which is the American summer, the North Shore was very quiet. The waters were flat. It's very laid back. I stayed in what is counted as the biggest town on the North Shore, which is Haleiwa. It's a really beautiful town. There's one long street with all these beautiful weatherboard cottages that have been turned into galleries and boutiques and cafes and bars.
Sounds gorgeous.
But even it is tiny. And I just stayed down near the beach, what the locals call the Turtle Beach. So every morning I just go and sit on the beach. There'd maybe three or four other people around, locals wandering past. And you just swim out with your snorkel on. Turtles feeding on the rocks.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty incredible.
What sort of size turtles?
So one day I saw about seven turtles. There's a massive one there who would be at least kind of a metre and a half long, but then they kind of go down.
Wow.
I think the smaller ones are the female turtles. I'm not 100% sure about that. But they are just so beautiful. And they don't care about you while you're swimming past. You can just float on the top of the water and they just keep feeding on the rocks.
So it wasn't an area, for example, where there was any snorkeling and things like that. It's really a surf beach.
No, so that there was no surf at Haleiwa. And a lot of the beaches have coral.
But it would have surf on it if it was the northern...
Well, it was... the beach that I was at had a reef. So right. I guess it might break over the reef, but... Yeah. They kind of tout that one as a really good, child-safe, no currents beach. But if you go 10 minutes up the road to Waimea, for instance, which is a stunning beach, there's got this huge rock that all the kids jump off into the water, that there's amazing waves there during the winter.
Sounds beautiful.
It's just amazing. And hardly any people around. Really quiet. There's one massive resort called Turtle Bay. I went up there and had a look and I thought I quite like Haleiwa actually. But, you know, I had for a snorkel up there and had a snorkel at Shark Cove, which was interesting and very rocky. You get lots of different beaches there. So, you know, some are very sandy, some are really rocky. But, you know, there's always something to look at, that's for sure.
And how far around the island is it to get to North Shore from the Honolulu?
So you go over the middle of the island and it takes about, depending on the traffic, about 40 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So it's not that far. And in fact, there's buses that link Honolulu and the North Shore.
I did a really fun bus trip when I was in Honolulu I had a very intrepid partner at the time who loved to do lots of hiking, and he figured out there was a hike that you could do to the top of a hill that overlooked the whole of Honolulu. So we were like, let's do this. And we caught a local bus from Waikiki to some little bus depot area, and then another bus, and then they dropped us off at the end of the line, which was way up this hill next to a beautiful art gallery, which we had a look at. And then we just walked into the forest, which, of course, is beautiful tropical forest. And then we just walked around and around. And then we thought we were lost, and we came to what looked like, I guess, a communications tower. And we were like, oh. And then we saw the road, and we were like, oh, a bit disappointed. And then we sort of found our way around the edge of the communications tower, and bang, there was the whole of Honolulu spread out in front of us. And you could see right down onto the I'm having a brain drain, you know, the beautiful we're going to have to come back to that.
We've got a recommendation on
Oh, we do?
Text.
Oh, Jerry, I love it.
Jerry sent us a text saying that we shouldn't forget the Brady Bunch holiday there, and there shouldn't be any more recommendation. That's the top.
Everyone remembers that Brady Bunch episode.
Yes.
Yes. In fact, I wonder sometimes if it was a double episode. So much happened. I think it's iconic. So, Stefan, are you familiar with that Brady Bunch episode?
No, I'm not familiar with the Brady Bunch at all.
So the Brady Bunch go to Hawaii on a holiday, and they experience quite a bit of bad luck.
That's right. Is that the one with the spider?
Yeah, that's the one with the spider. So it starts out that there's a Hawaiian mask or something on the wall, and they knock the mask off the wall by accident. Oh. I can't remember exactly why. And it's like, it's going to be all really spooky. And then there's a tarantula in someone's bed, and then someone gets whacked in the head with a surfboard. That's a famous episode. Thank you so much for suggesting that, Jerry.
Funny facts about Hawaiian spider. Do you want to hear?
Yeah.
Yes, it's home to the unique happy face spider, which bears an uncanny resemblance to smiling face at the back of its abdomen, or also known Theridion grallator.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Now, I did hear a story. Now, I was actually about to refer to Pearl Harbor before, because I didn't go to Pearl Harbor because it doesn't interest me as much. But from the height of this mountaintop, we could actually look, so I could see it, which was kind of good. But I didn't actually have to go to it. Did you visit Pearl Harbor?
No, I have not visited Pearl Harbor two times that I've been to Hawaii. I've always sort of thought, oh, I should do that. And then, you know, time gets away from you and you kind of go, oops, I forgot to do that again. People who go say it's amazingly moving. Yeah. But next time, maybe.
Sign up, renew or extend your Joy membership this Radiothon and you could win our major prize. Premium economy flights for two from any capital city in Australia, plus 7 nights accommodation in Los Angeles, courtesy of Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Yes, sign up, renew or extend your Joy membership between May 1 and June 30 to be in the draw. Head to joy.org.au to sign up now or call 1-300-JOY-949. Joy, 25 years proud.
Now, Carrie, when you were in Hawaii, you did something that most people would probably go, I don't know, I don't think so. I mean, how'd you get into it? Tell the listeners. It's crazy.
So one of my things is swimming with things. I like to swim with things.
You don't and think I'm, just swimming with friends is a good enough?
No. So where I was staying in Haleiwa, the boat harbour, there are a lot of signs up for, you know, shark diving in cages. And I went, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. Not really. So I did a little bit of research and I found a group who take, they're a group of marine biologists. They take very small groups out into the ocean and you jump in the ocean and swim with sharks with no cage.
No cage.
Whoa.
So the group's called One Ocean and they're a group, they research these sharks and they document them and they try to work out their patterns and where they come and go. So mostly you go 3 miles off the coast, you're in 300 feet of water, so it's like the deep blue.
Yeah.
You can't splash. You have to just slip into the water and the boats attract the sharks. And the sharks are quite curious and they quite like visitors. So they mostly have sandbar sharks and Galapagos sharks. So Galapagos sharks are a requiem shark, which is a bit like our bronze whaler. They're the most common varieties of sharks they get, but they also get scalloped hammerheads and the one I was hoping for but that we didn't get, which was the tiger shark.
I mean, I love a hammerhead. I mean, they are so just bizarro and crazy.
They are.
So how long are these sharks?
So we had about 13 Galapagos sharks, a couple of little sandbar sharks when we got in and then they disappeared and the Galapagos sharks turned up. They're about between 6 and 10 feet long. So they're big sharks.
Yeah.
But they're not aggressive
in any way. So it's not dangerous? No.
So these, when you're on the boat and you're going out, they sort of do the spiel where they do a few tours a day, only ever 6 people at a time, 2 marine biologists in the water with you and 1 in the boat. And they've done it for years and taken thousands of people and they've never lost anyone.
Do they inspect you beforehand to make sure you don't have any cuts or bruises?
No, and it doesn't matter if you've got cuts and bruises. That's a fallacy. Sharks aren't attracted to blood in the water.
And did you have to sign a disclaimer?
Oh, yeah, you have to sign a disclaimer for everything.
States, I guess, yes,
but I think they're probably more worried about people, you know, slipping on the boat than being bitten by a shark.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was incredibly... Yeah.
Do the sharks open their mouths at all so you could see their teeth? Because, I mean, that would really be scary.
I had to get back in the boat because I was a little bit seasick in the water, but... Apparently, just before they all came in, one of the sharks came up quite close and nudged one of the girls' fins in the water. But apparently that is also something they do quite regularly. They're not attacking. They're just checking you out.
Absolutely.
So probably the closest I got was 2 shark lengths away from 1 shark who swam past.
Wow. And because you were with marine biologists, did you get a lot of information on
this?
So that must have been quite...
It's amazing. They tell you a lot about sharks as you're going out to the... Yeah. And then you can ask any questions on the way back. One of the things they talk about is the how many teeth sharks have, and they just shed them all the time and they regrow, which would be amazing if we were... That could happen for us.
That would be incredible. No more fillings.
I don't know how I feel about that.
But that wasn't the only thing you swam with.
No. And then there's another company. Well, there's a lot of companies. On the west side of the island is Waianae, which is a really wild part of the island. Not many visitors go there. The only visitors who go there are the people who go dolphin swimming.
Which is very popular.
It's very popular, and there are some boats like with huge amounts of people on them, like, you know, so there'll be 40 people in the water. But I chose a company, again, that does a lot of research, has marine biologists on board. Again, they only take 6 people at a time, and they know where to go to swim with the dolphins, which are spinner dolphins, so that you're not completely crowded out by people. Because the dolphins aren't actually that fond of huge groups of people in the water at once. They prefer just a little bit of interaction. So the spinner dolphins are the ones that shoot out of the water and spin, which is
amazing.
How they get their name. So they're shallow water. They're close to shore. You're not very far off the shore when you jump in. You can see the bottom. They just swim around you and leap out of the water. And, you know, the women who were the marine biologists with us there would go, all right, they're heading for us now, and everyone would duck under the water and they'd just swim past.
Oh, nice.
Some days they're more active and interactive than other days. They weren't particularly interactive when we were there, but, I mean, there's the feeling of being in the water as dolphins are kind of leaping 10 feet away from you is unbelievable.
Well, I mean, I believe that the swimming with dolphins is very popular for people that are cancer sufferers and people that are unwell. They believe that there's some restorative components. Mm. Of course, you know, that's highly speculative, but still the sheer enjoyment of life you would get from that experience.
And so we went in twice with them and then we had heaps of time left. So we went for a cruise along the coast and found a huge pod, like there must have been like 100 spotted dolphins, which are an open water species. So they like the deep water, who were feeding. So we just sort of sat and watched them and they came up to the boat and then the boat driver said, oh, they really love the wake. So he was doing slow kind of laps of this pod and they were just like were leaping and coming right up to the boat and making noises and it was just unbelievable. And then on the way back to shore, we stopped at a little reef and went spotting spotting turtles. So,
oh, wow.
There were people on the trip who had, I couldn't believe this, who had never been on a boat and had never snorkeled before. Mm. And one of the boys, he was from Colorado, all he wanted to see was a turtle, and we found about five, I think, so he was beside himself.
That sounds like a really special part of the trip.
It's amazing.
So good tip for listeners, when you go to Hawaii and you want to do that, pick the smaller
companies. So they're called Wildside if you're heading that way.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, you did some research and found a really small thing rather than trying to get out of off the beaten tracks and with loads of tourists.
I just think you get a much more personal experience, and you get to ask questions of the experts on board, and you do get experts on the smaller trips.
Yeah,
so they do cost more, but you know, you get a lot more out of it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, that was sounded like it was a really extra special with all of those spotted dolphins. And
yes.
So, was there any other exciting outdoorsy activities you did while you were there?
So the other swimming thing I did, and this is a really easy one, and especially maybe if you've got people who don't swim very much.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bay, the most beautiful bay you've ever seen, called Hanauma Bay, which is about 20 minutes from Honolulu. And as you're walking down the streets in Waikiki, you'll see pamphlets for it everywhere. Snorkel, Hanauma Bay, and companies will come pick you up from your hotel, give you all the snorkel gear, drop you off and come pick you up a few hours later.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I like to snorkel in. It's a bit shallow, too many people. But the bay itself is incredibly beautiful.
Mm.
And if you're not very comfortable in the water, it's perfect. Mm. Lots of fish.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9 with Fiona, myself, Stefan and Carrie. Just come back from Hawaii, and I want to hear a little bit more about Hawaiian food. So what is there to eat?
You name it, basically, and you can eat it in Hawaii. But there's so many different cultures there.
Mm.
If you love Japanese food, there is so much good Japanese food all over Honolulu. There's one place that I went to, Murakame Noodles, and there's always a massive lineup. So I like to eat at unusual times so that I don't have to line up. And basically all they do is sell bowls of udon.
Oh.
But everyone lines up for it. And tempura. So you just, it's like delicious. Almost like you just go along and you go, I want that one. And then you take your tray and you pick some tempura and then you pay for it, sit at a table and scoff it down. It was really fantastic.
Beautiful.
And they have quirky things like lomi lomi salmon, which is a Hawaiian dish. And, of course, then they do the pig, the hangi, which is...
The kalau pork, is that how you say it?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like pulled pork.
Yeah. Oh. And then they have... we talked about the taro, the poi.
Poi, which is like a ground taro that is a traditional food. You won't find that very often, though.
No, because
you get the plate lunch, which is basically a meat of some description you choose, and then you get two scoops of rice and a kind of a bit of a macaroni salad. That's big. And the other delicacy, in inverted quotes, that I saw is something that they call loco moco, which is a hamburger patty with a fried egg on top. And gravy, and they will have that for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Oh, dear. Wow. That sounds, so vegetarian and vegan, all right to accommodate?
Well, when I was there, we ate a lot of Asian food. We ate lots of fried rices, and you know, pretty much every Asian cuisine is represented in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So it was easy to eat lots of vegetarian food. I don't think the Hawaiian native food is overly vegetarian. They're pretty much into pigs.
Yeah.
What I also loved about Hawaii is the Kona coffee, which is strong as and fantastic, you know, coconut pancakes smothered in syrup. So it's a bit of a combo of Hawaiian and American pancakes sort of thing, which I really, really loved.
And did you try the shave ice while you were there?
I don't think I had the shaved ice.
So shaved ice, you kind of go, shaved ice, how exciting can that be? And it basically is just shaved ice, and then you get different, like, naturally flavoured syrups. So there's coconut and passion fruit and all sorts of things. And then you can finish there. Or they'll ask you if you want something on top of it. And I said to the girl, I don't know. You're the expert. She goes, you should have condensed milk on the top. I was like, okay.
Yum.
She said, it makes it really creamy. And I tell you what, the shave ice is a taste sensation. For something that is so simple, it's amazing. So I would definitely recommend people try that. And on the North Shore, you should go to Haleiwa and find the food truck parks, because that's a really cool way to eat lots of different foods and it's not expensive. The big one is the shrimp, which is basically what we call a prawn, and they cook them up in garlic butter and, again, serve with a couple of scoops of rice and a bit of green salad and a piece of pineapple. Aww. And you just sit at a table outside the truck and eat it.
I remember being at a New Year's Eve party and being invited by the barman to a clam bake the next day, a New Year's Day clam bake at their house, which we didn't go to. I think we felt that was a bit intrusive. So it's this fantastic blend of American, Native Hawaiian, Asian. I mean, it's got the lot. It's pretty amazing from a food perspective.
It is. Mm.
You can drink Mai Tais until they're coming out your nose. It was so good.
I love lava flows.
What's in a lava flow?
So it's kind of a bit like a pina colada. It's like a coconut slushy thing with alcohol, lots of alcohol, and a strawberry puree around the edge of the glass that is supposed to represent the lava flow.
Wow.
And they are incredibly delicious.
I didn't have any of those.
Mm. No, I don't think I've ever tasted it. I've been to Hawaii, so.
Now, speaking of the lava flow, obviously the Big Island is, it's the volcano has swallowed a whole town. While you were there, of course, that was actually all happening, but that didn't have any effect, of course, on your travels.
No, and I think that's something that people need to be aware of, is that, you know, it's horrible. I just looked on the internet this morning and it's about 600 homes that have been swallowed up by the eruptions. But that's in a very small part of the Big Island. Mm. And in fact, I think the lava covers 10 square miles, which is about 0.2% of the landmass of that entire island. Mm. So it's tiny. And it doesn't even affect you if you went to the Big Island. You just couldn't go to Lower Puna, which is where the lava flow is. But like even the main town next to it, Hilo, is still fine. There are still lava boat tours running from Hilo to have a look at the lava running into the sea, although the little bay that the lava is running into is now like a delta of lava, so the shoreline has completely been obliterated.
And, of course, the other thing is it doesn't seem to be affecting flights or anything like that, which is what we associate with the active volcanoes that happen in Indonesia.
Of course, there was never any indication that that might be a problem. There's still flights going to and from the Big Island, so I can't imagine it's affecting very much at all. I think they are saying if you have respiratory issues that you probably shouldn't go too close. Mm. But then you probably shouldn't go too close anyway. We went to onto the lava fields when we were on the Big Island last year, which was also an incredible experience. But, of course, you can't do that at the moment. And most of the Volcanoes National Park is closed.
Right.
Most of it. Not all of it.
Wow. Mm. Okay. So you've got some other suggestions for people when they're travelling to Oahu.
Yes. Yeah, so when people think of Honolulu, they do think of Waikiki, which is incredibly busy, lots of big buildings and tourists everywhere, and can become a little overwhelming. But I think sometimes people forget that there are actually other parts of Honolulu. And I really love the old downtown area and Chinatown. Like, it's got a really funny little Chinatown. It's small, but, you know, you can wander around and have a look in the markets and, you know, you can buy a kilo of frogs for $10 if you like. Kilo of frogs. And there's some,
nice work.
There's some really great little shops there, some vintage shops, one called Tin Can Mailman and another one called Barrio Vintage. You can buy old Aloha shirts, really beautiful Hawaiiana bits and pieces, old salt and pepper shakers, men like pineapples and things like that. And there's also some really great galleries, and there's one whole street that's just food and bars. So that's a really good spot to go and have a look at. Of course, everyone else goes to Ala Moana, which is the massive shopping centre. Again, that's a place where you'll hear a lot of Australian accents, and it's worth it if you want to, you know, buy Fendi and Prada and things like that. But it's also where there's the only Barnes & Noble I could find on the island, so I spend a bit of time there. And there's also, if you're interested in local customs, there's a Hawaiian ukulele manufacturer. Four generations of family have run this, and I can't remember what it's called, Kamaka. Kamaka Hawaii is the name, and they run a little free tour of the factory every morning at 10:30 between Tuesday and Friday. Mm. And so that's a really cool way to go and have a look at,
beautiful.
So most of us, when we think of ukuleles, think of the pinched waist ones, which are like a little guitar, but they make a beautiful pineapple-shaped ukulele, which has a much richer sound. And you can even buy one if you've got a spare $1,000 rattling around in your wallet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not like the $25 ones you find in the shops in Melbourne.
Not at all. But the tour is free, so that's good.
Take the tour.
So there's so many things to do there. I'm just trying to think of a few of the other things I did. You can go, if you are in Waikiki, you should go on the outrigger canoes, which are the old...
Yes,
so these are the canoes that the Polynesians came to Hawaii in, and the original ones used to carry like 80 people and all their supplies.
Mm.
And now the Waikiki Beach Services, which is... These were the surfers who were on the beach years and years and years ago, like 50 years ago, when there were only two hotels there, which were the Royal Hawaiian, the Pink Palace of the Pacific, and the Moana Surf Rider, owned by the same cruise company. And these guys who used to hang out on the beach said to the company, why don't we look after your people on the beach, make sure they don't drown and whatever. So it's developed from there. There's now 100 people working for the Waikiki Beach Services. They do outrigger canoe rides, which are come in on the wave.
That sounds like fun.
Surfing lessons, stand-up paddle boarding lessons, and they also run the pool services at the Royal Hawaiian. Mm-hmm. So that's where you'll find them, at the front of the Royal Hawaiian on Waikiki Beach.
Oh, that just sounds really like a lot of fun.
It is huge amounts of fun.
Absolutely. And then there is, of course, all sorts of wacky kind of Japanese game spaces that... they were there when I was there. It was quite a few years ago.
Yeah, no, they probably are.
What kind of game? Japanese game? What?
I should probably do some research before I say any more. Also know about Hawaii is it has a carry, as you mentioned, the largest population of the biggest LGBTIQ community in the United States.
Yeah, so about 5% of the population. That was from a 2012 Gallup poll, so I'm assuming so it's not too different.
No.
But it's very LGBTQI. Friendly. Yes.
It sounds amazing.
It's Pride Month.
It's National Pride Month in the US at the moment, and there's a lot of different celebrations and trying to...
I think there was a massive picnic on the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, the Community Pride Picnic.
Yes.
Yes, which is happening at the moment, or tomorrow or something.
I think that it was on the 2nd of June, so we've missed it.
But they have a massive Pride parade... But later in the year, in October, I think?
October,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Mm.
It just sounds so marvellous. Mm. I mean, some of the other islands, of course. I have been to Kauai and I have done the Kalalau Trail, which is pretty exciting. And I've gone to that beach that you can't reach except by walking. And, of course, the Maui and walked in the Waimea Canyon and done the Haleakala Crater. So there is... I just love saying the words. And I went to a black sand beach along the Hannah Highway.
Yep.
So many fun... I just, just go and rattle off all the names of places.
I want to go to Maui next year because between January and March is whale season and you can go for a little paddle board out to... Where the whales are. And
so you won't be able to swim with the whales, but you can paddle with the whales.
And because there's no diesel fumes or noise, they're much more happy to interact with, paddleboarders or kayakers or...
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is the Escape Hour. I think the one most important thing that Stefan and I would like to discuss with Carrie is the excitement of how to get there and why you should go to Hawaii.
Well, I think if you're still a little bit kind of like, oh, it's just a beach, maybe you should use it as a stopover the next time you're going to the USA because it's about 9 hours from Melbourne to Hawaii and then another 9 hours to New York.
It's halfway if you're traveling to the East Coast.
Exactly. So if you kind of fly in there and go, I might have 4 days, stay in Honolulu, have a bit of a look around, hire a car, go for a drive to the North Shore, and then your life will be changed and you'll want to go back. And then you can fly on to New York. And the other excellent reason that you should do it that way is that you don't have to go through Los Angeles Airport. Immigration at Honolulu, I was through there in about 10 minutes. The man said to me, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm on holiday." And he said, "How long for?" I said, 3 weeks. He said, "Have fun." Stamped my passport and off I went.
Yep, that is exactly right. You can miss the chaos of going through customs in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Well, I have almost missed my flight out of Honolulu because I was there for 4 days as a stopover and I was too relaxed and I forgot what day it was and I had a mad panic and had to run from the beach to the hotel room covered in sand, throw on some clothes and literally mug a guy on the street for his taxi to get to the airport. So my only warning would be
there you would arrive before you leave.
Yes, so I left here at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and I arrived at 6 o'clock on Friday morning, and that does do your head in slightly. Of course, on the way back, you lose a day, which is not great either. But
yes, that is a bit of a downside. But Hawaii is really a must, and there's so much to see. I mean, you've got the little island of Molokai, which is a privately owned island that you can actually go and stay at, I believe. There's so many wonderful things to recommend it.
And Molokai was a leper's colony
before. Molokai was the leper's colony.
I think you can do a tour on mules to the leper colony.
Yep, I have heard that. That's and hikes and walks abound. Whatever it is that you like. You can visit I went to a fantastic cowboy village on Maui.
That's right. I have heard about that. Yeah, another good reason to go back.
I actually can't remember the name, but I think if we had a friend that was living there.
Hmm. Well, so a good travel agent would get you flights for around $500.
Cheap these days to fly there. It's fantastic. Yeah. Everyone should take advantage of it. And I'm sure that Russ next week will update us on Hawaii flights. So next week, where are we going next week? Do you remember, Stefan? I don't remember. I've set up the schedule. We have so many amazing guests coming in. And next week we've got Deborah Glass.
Oh, yes, that's
right. Deborah Glass is an ombudsman and she travels the world and she is going to talk extensively about her international travel. Carrie, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Really great. I think we've convinced all of Melbourne to go.
I want to go and swim with the sharks. Absolutely.
Oh, definitely you should swim with the sharks if you're in Hawaii.
On that note, Stefan.
So you're on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.